On Saturday afternoon, following the morning mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral, Pope Benedict visited St. Joseph's Seminary in New York, where he met first with a group of disabled children and then with a huge crowd of young people, including several hundred who are currently studying for the priesthood or religious life. Cardinal Edward Egan was on hand to greet the Pope, together with some 20,000 young people, who gave the Pope a rousing welcome.
Most Holy Father, welcome to St. Joseph's Seminary. We are truly delighted to have you here to greet, address, and inspire the youth of the Church in the United States, and with them, our future priests, sisters, and brothers.
In his address to the youngsters, Pope Benedict urged them to be disciples of Christ and witnesses to the truth, which is so often sidelined or even banished from today's society. He spoke of his own teenage years, when the Nazi regime was beginning to rear its ugly head and trample on the truth of human dignity.
My own years as a teenager were marred by a sinister regime that thought it had all the answers. Its influence grew, infiltrating schools and civic bodies, as well as politics and even religion, before it was fully recognized for the monster it was. It banished God and thus became impervious to anything true and good. Many of your grandparents and great-grandparents will have recounted the horror of the destruction that ensued. Indeed, some of them come to America precisely to escape such terror.
Holding up the examples of six ordinary men and women who witnessed to the truth on the streets of New York and are now honoured by the Church as venerables, blesseds or saints, Pope Benedict urged his young audience to imitate them and bring the love of Christ to those seeking meaning in their lives today.
I am struck by what a remarkably diverse group they are, poor and rich, laymen and women. One a wealthy wife and mother, priests and sisters, immigrants from afar, the daughter of a Mohawk warrior father, an Algonquin mother, another Haitian slave, and a Cuban intellectual. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, St. John Newman, Blessed Catherine Te Caquita, Venerable Pierre Toussaint, and Padre Felix Varela. Any one of us could be among them, for there is no stereotype to this group, no single mold. Yet a closer look reveals that there are common elements. Inflamed with the love of Jesus, their lives became remarkable journeys of hope.
On a lighter note, during that encounter, the crowds of young people also marked Pope Benedict's birthday earlier in the week by singing to him in his native German.
Father, we rejoice with you as you celebrate your birthday and the anniversary of your election as the Vicar of Christ this week.
And the Pope responded, clearly delighted by this simple gesture.
Thank you for this loving gesture. I give you all an A plus for a German pronunciation.
Although the Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral on Saturday morning received far more media attention, these two afternoon encounters with the young and disabled people were particularly moving moments for Pope Benedict as well as for his delighted audiences. Sean Patrick Lovett reports once again on those two meetings that concluded the Pope's stay in New York on Saturday.
Two very different moments with one very important element in common. Both touched the heart rather than the mind. They were moments where gestures said so much more than words ever could. Both moments happened inside and outside St. Joseph's Seminary, and both gave Pope Benedict XVI the opportunity to engage in a more spontaneous contact, a closer encounter with two groups of people that are particularly close to his heart, disabled children and young people. The second was the more raucous and celebratory of the two gatherings, and was marked by a personal embrace between the Pope and 15 individuals representing groups especially active in parish or community initiatives. It was clear Benedict XVI was enjoying himself, smiling constantly, and even going on an unscheduled walkabout at the end. Also indicative was the fact that the event ran well over time. The Pope used the occasion to remind his youthful audience that freedom is a delicate value, not to be confused with relativism. He spoke of his own youth, marred, as he said, by a sinister regime, and confirmed that truth can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Gestures played a vital role in the earlier encounter with the disabled. The Pope was entertained by a deaf and dumb choir that interpreted a hymn using sign language. Again, the Holy Father spent a long time giving individual attention to the children, their parents, and caregivers. He admitted it is challenging to find a reason for what appears only as a difficulty to be overcome or even pain to be endured. But he reminded them also of God's unconditional love, which bathes every human individual and points to a meaning and purpose for all human life. There was a third moment during the day, but it happened in private and almost went by unnoticed. The Pope was recording a radio message, and during the voice test he improvised comments to the effect that he'd come to the United States to confirm his brothers and sisters in the faith. But, continued Pope Benedict XVI, I have to say that American Catholics are confirming me in my faith. Coming from him, that's quite a compliment. With the Pope in New York, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.